Hey, welcome back to another episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast. We're continuing on with our What Now miniseries, and we're moving into the key ideas of safety differently. Today, we're talking about people aren't the problem to control. People are the solution. Let's go. Welcome to another episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast. I am your host, Sam Goodman, the Hop Nerd LLC. Make sure you head over to the website, www.thehopnerd.com, for fundamentals, learning teams, support, and so much more. Send us an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com, and be sure to follow along with us on all things social media at thehopnerd or at Sam Goodman. Welcome to today's episode. Welcome back to the Hop Nerd Podcast. My name is Sam Goodman, a owner and hop practitioner of the Hop Nerd LLC, creator of Starting Points Operationally Curious Questions, which, if you don't know, there are operationally curious card decks, journals, and we license these to organizations so that we can help you customize card decks and print them internally. Customize, cost-efficient, better questions, pre-event operational learning without 14 years of training? My God, could you? Yeah, they're really, really handy. They're in hundreds of organizations around the globe, thousands and thousands of these card decks all over the map, and there's a reason for that. They work. Yeah, they're awesome. Listen to this. You ready? Even if you just want something to fiddle with in your hand, I found myself just fiddling with these things. You can learn more about these over at thehopnerd.com/SP, as in starting points, thehopnerd.com/SP. Easy peasy lemon squeezy. Yeah, how cool is that? Speaking of which, I am starting to bring back our minisodes, our starting points minisodes. They're just a cool resource. Yeah, we throw those questions out there. I kind of chat about why I find a particular question valuable and some of what I tend to find with those more interesting, more operationally curious, better questions. And then I challenge you to go out and ask that question in your work world. Yeah, pretty stinking cool. So you'll see those kind of dropping in. I'm not really settled out on a day yet. If you've been hanging around here for more than a minute, you know, we get in like spurts where it's like, oh, I'm going to post the episodes every day on Tuesday or every week on Tuesday. And then it's like, yeah, let's do it on Wednesday. Let's do it on Sunday. That way it's out. And if it's this What Now miniseries, which has grown into a larger series, I don't think it's so many anymore. Just kind of post them as they're available. You'll go like, bam, 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 like every day. And this What Now miniseries isn't just a podcast. It's a blogcast. Wait for it. Blogcast. Yeah, the party horn is in full effect early in this episode. And what I mean by that, what is a blogcast? Well, you can listen to it right here. You're probably listening to it on your handy-dandy phone or over on the Hop Nerd website. But if you do go over to the Hop Nerd website and you click on blog, there's a corresponding article for every one of these episodes that goes through some actions and some bonus actions and some ideas, and even includes some recent videos. We threw one in the middle there on you where we explored a framework for better post-event response, and really a focus on how we move from react to respond. If you haven't listened to that one, go over and check it out. And if you haven't checked out the blogcasts, this is a perfect opportunity to do that. Just go to thehopnerd.com/blog or thehopnerd.com and then click on blog, and you'll see it right there under our blog tab. You will see we had an accident. What now? Yeah. And you'll go through this thing and you'll see there's some great information. The episode is right there. You can play it. We have a downloadable framework, a framework that we use here at the Hop Nerd LLC, which is the CSCL framework or the Pause Plus CSCL framework. And the episode will walk you through that and the blog will walk you through that. And if you find it valuable, you can print that stuff out. You can take that guide. You can give it a shot. You can share this blogcast with your folks, with your friends. And yeah, it's meant to be helpful. So it's all right there on the website. The only other thing that I want to share with you before we jump into today's episode is if you need a hand on your human and organizational performance journey, whether that looks like bringing in a keynote speaker for something that you've got going on, or you need a hand facilitating some of those learning teams, or you need a hand with somebody to come in and hang out with your learning team facilitators and help them facilitate learning teams and coach them while in the process of doing learning teams, or if you need someone just to be that sounding board or that ongoing advisor for your organization, or if you need that hot fundamental something or that deep dive multi-day workshop into operational learning, learning teams, better questions, you know what's coming next. You know, if you've listened to the past episodes, wait for it. Party horn, because I'm your person. There's a lot of great folks out there, and it's an absolute honor that so many organizations choose to partner with me and my business, the Hop Nerd LLC. And if you want to be one of those organizations, if you want to begin or go farther on your hop journey, get in touch with me, thehopnerd@gmail.com, or check out the website. You can get some more detailed information on the services that we provide over there. You can request a quote, easy peasy, lemon squeezy. Or if you want to skip the whole email part altogether and just jump on a Zoom call, just go up to the top, right at the very, very tippy top of the page on that little menu, and click book a consult. Super duper easy. And we'll be on Zoom like that. Yeah, having a neat conversation about human and organizational performance. So here we go. Let's continue our What Now mini-series as we start to explore these key ideas, these tenets of safety differently, starting with people aren't the problem to control. People are the solution. What now? People are not the problem. People are the solution. What a transformative idea in many of our organizations. Organizations that have started from maybe the opposite of that, where we say, you know, people are the primary problem within our work worlds, and we fix problems. So we are going to fix these pesky, unruly people. Oh, yeah, it's a huge shift. People are not the problem to manage. People are the solution. Another way to think about that is that people are not the problem. People are our problem solvers. Let that sink in for a second. You know, for years and years and years and years, our default reaction to error or events has been to look for the person. We go down and in looking for a broke part and almost always broke person. Broke part, broke person, faulty component. Someone wasn't careful enough. Someone didn't follow the rules. We need to train those stupid people better and to make them more situationally aware. We've went down this path, a path of managing the person as the primary opportunity to make our work worlds better, as really the person and their pesky humanity, ugh, ick, people doing peoply things, ugh, ack, as being the last great frontier to conquer between us and the utopia that is operational excellence. People in their humanity as being the thing that stands between us and safety within our organizations. But how wonky is that? How off-key is that? Because people create safety in our organizations each and every day, on the fly, on the move, figuring things out as they go, getting it almost always right, creating success where there shouldn't be success, being the problem solvers, being the solution within our organizations each and every day, each and every night. Rain, sleet, snow, hail, shine, good days, bad days, everything in between. People create success almost all the time. You know, we describe the generic description of pretty much any organization that I find is this. It's a bunch of great people doing a bunch of great work with a bunch of great intentions and mostly getting it right and occasionally getting it wrong. If that doesn't describe your work world, I don't know what does, because that describes most of the work worlds, pretty much all of them, that I come into contact with. Our folks are out there. You are out there. People are out in our work worlds, no matter their role, no matter what they, air quotes here, do for a living. Yeah, they are out there figuring things out, navigating the messy reality of work, dealing with conflicting goals, resource constraints, imperfect processes, imperfect procedure, chaos, expected variability, unexpected variability. They're the solution. You are the solution. The ones that are making things work despite all of the flaws, despite all of the gaping holes, despite sometimes at least feeling like it, and sometimes it really is, the world being completely pitted against us. So here we go, with a little bit of a discussion about it out of the way. The question now becomes, people are the solution. What now? If you've been around for a minute, you know what that sound means. It's disclaimer time. I do not know you, and I do not know your organization. If I do not know you and know your organization and understand deeply, how can I tell you what to go do? I can't. And anybody out there telling you, hey, listen, this works for everybody, it's great, just send me a check and start doing this, and it'll be awesome for you. Even if it's with the best of intentions, they're lying because they don't know. And I can't tell you what to do, and neither can they, if they don't know you and your organization. Guess who knows your organization? Probably the best, at least way better than me or anyone else out there doing stuff like this. Yeah, you. And if you don't know, you should go out and try to know. And even if you think that you know, you should be going out and trying to understand more about what is working within your organization, what is not working within your organization, from the folks that actually have to use said things. So take everything that I say with a grain of salt and put it into the context of the operational reality that you and your organization faces each and every day, each and every night. Rain, snow, sleet, hail, shine, tornadoes, hurricanes, yeah, all that stuff. It's up to you. Now, another thing that I like to share here is that I might tell you that something's crap, or I might say that's just dumb. And you might hear from a lot of other folks out there that thing's crap or that thing's dumb. And it might be crap and or dumb and or insert something else here for most folks that have tried to use it. That doesn't mean it doesn't work for you. I'm the very last person in this world that is going to tell you to stop doing something that is working well for you and your folks. Now, it has to be actually working well, though. I didn't say you think it's working well. If you want to understand if something is working well, go spend time, real time, being curious with the folks that actually have to use said something. If it's actually working well, why in the heck would you stop? You shouldn't. You shouldn't. Another thing with this disclaimer. Don't throw the baby out with the bathwater. Hop gets this bad rap unduly, in my professional opinion, that we encourage folks to throw out the baby with the bathwater. Like there's folks in our community going around saying, you don't need lockout, tagout. You just need to say that air is normal. Easy. Solved it. Nope. The folks that are telling you that that's what we're saying are lying to you as well. Yeah, that's hot garbage. Hop. And this approach to doing things a bit differently, we are building on where we have been trying to go, where we know we need to go, where it is that we want to go. You don't get further down the road with this thing by saying everything we've ever done is crap, and we're just going to stop doing all that stuff that works for us. Back to the other point. Nope. So definitely don't throw out the baby with the bathwater. The last thing that I want to share with you here is don't be afraid to try stuff. Yeah, start small, experiment. Maybe it doesn't work. Maybe it does. Maybe it kind of works. And you can tweak it, and you can tune it, and you can make it your own. That's exactly what you should be doing. Starting small, experimenting with these ideas, coming up with your own ideas, and figuring things out. Which leads me to the final point. There are no secret handshakes. There are no really cool chest bumps and like wiggity, 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 wiggity. Or if you're like me these days, as you get older, the chest bumps become more of belly bumps than chest bumps. There's none of that stuff. There's no silver bullet. There are no easy answers here. You're just not going to find that. And I don't think there are any easy answers. So there are any easy answers to the things that we're really trying to make better. I just don't think those exist. Now, the thing here is that it's a lot of work. and it's a lot of hard work. There's no easy peasy lemon squeezy, do A, B, and C, and this thing is yours, baby. No, it doesn't work that way. There's a lot of work, hard work, frustrating work, work that takes you 10 steps forward and then maybe 10 steps back to only then gain 3 steps forward. But that's how it goes. That's how it goes for just about anything that's worthwhile. Yeah, and this is one of those things. It's hard work, it's frustrating work, it's a lot of work, but it's rewarding work, and it's work that's absolutely worth it because your people are absolutely worth it. There we go. Disclaimers out of the way. I always throw this in here because I think it's important to level set right out of the gate. I don't want folks walking away from this going, well, you just do A, B, and C. And that's nope. Well, you just throw away everything we've done. Nope. That's not how this works. All right. Let's start to jump into some of our action items. Our what now question. The first thing that I want to share with you is this. Dig for success in normal everyday work. Yeah, stop focusing only on failure. We're really good at learning from failure. And what I mean by that, because as soon as I say that, you're going to go, no, we're not. You are, though. I know that you are, because as soon as something goes wrong, you have all the time, money, and resources that you need to spend as long as you need, maybe with some rules around how long it should take. But you can go out and actually learn about failure. A corporate will descend on your location tomorrow if it's bad enough. Like, all the vice presidents will be in your office tomorrow to help. But they'll be there. So what I mean by that is that we are great at responding, reacting more sometimes than responding. Go back to previous episodes. But we do it. We do it. The one thing that we don't spend much time doing is pre-event operational learning. Yeah. Now, I hear a lot of organizations say, hey, listen, we really value pre-event operational learning. We really want this. But we just can't do it. How? And the answer to that, very simply put, is you just do it. Yeah, there's tons of tools out there, like Starting Points. Yeah, shameless plug. Those help a ton. There are other ways that you can do this, of just going out and having conversations with folks. You can do these more informal learning teams, these huddles, these all these different things that we know and have been around for years and years and years and years and years. I almost always find that it's not the, hey, we don't actually know how to do this. I find almost always that it's more like this. We value this. We love this, but we just can't. And what they mean by can't is I'm not willing to free up time and resources to actually do this. When something goes wrong, I've got a very clear loud signal and there's an expectation and I have to do this. But pre-event, when things are going well and the boxes are green, when nothing is happening, which we know always means a lot is happening, I can't do that. So what you're really telling me there is you don't value it. You can't say that you value something and then not actually treat it like you value it. Long pause. Yeah, let that one sink in. Yeah. If you want operational learning and you truly value operational learning pre-event, you have to free up and support it. You have to support it with as much time and resources as you do post-event learning. Yeah, I think that really, if I'm thinking about it in like the perfect world, it would be way more time and resources into investing time and resources into learning pre-event than post-event. But if you're looking for an easy place to start, just think one-to-one for now. That's way more than what we're doing usually. So for every hour you invest into post-event learning, you should be investing an equal amount into pre-event learning. And that probably looks like 5 times as much truly into pre-event learning, giving us the opportunity to find failure in motion and do something about that, giving us at least the opportunity to maybe minimize outcomes or to prevent outright. That's where we should be investing almost all of our time, you would think. The event's the anomaly. The event's not the norm. You're going to find all of that stuff. Maybe not every single ounce of information that you could find. Some of that stuff only becomes visible after an event. Duh. Of course. We're not fortune tellers. We can't do that. Of course not. But you're going to find the seeds. You're going to find the things that make you go, huh? You're going to find the whispers of failure in motion. Because those anomalies, those events, guess where they live? Before they become anomalies. Guess where they live before they become events? They live in normal, everyday, usually successful work. So let's talk formal learning team here. It's a great opportunity, especially when you have a bit of a frustration point, problem, and hey, this thing sucks kind of already defined, that's a great way to do pre-event operational learning teams. Back to our point, though, on valuing this, does this mean that you're going to have to pull Bob and Jane off the line and you might have to pull in an SME and you're going to have that hour or so on this day and an hour or so on the next day to do that more structured formal learning team? Absolutely. Yeah, that's what it means. You're going to have to actually invest time, resources, people. You might even have to buy them burritos and coffee. Yeah, you might even have to send somebody down to Staples to get some flip charts. Yeah, but what will come out of it will be a wealth of operational information, the story of normal, everyday, usually successful work. Yeah, and what will almost always come out of it is some pretty great ideas for improvement. Now, to continue on maybe with this action a bit in a less formal sense, you don't have to just go out and do formal learning teams for these areas. Yeah, and maybe you're in that position of going, huh, I don't know where to start. I've got an idea that we need to learn more about something, or I want to start pre-event operational learning, but I don't have that really clearly defined area to do maybe a more formal learning team. That's where we encourage folks to go out and do what we refer to as learning explorations. Think quick, fast, hit and run kind of learning sessions. Think listening sessions with this lens of human and organizational performance, this lens of learning teams. It's casting a wide net to see what we haul in. So let's do a quick story time right here. So we had been on our human and organizational performance journey for more than a minute, a few years into this thing. And we had this question that sounded like, we were doing this for a minute. How are things going? What's improved? What's been made worse? What stayed the same? What are we missing? Where do we need to go next? What's working well? What's not working so well? You know, the normal questions that come about with change, especially when you're leading change and you understand the importance of operational reality on those change efforts and how your efforts are influencing that operational reality. So the way that we decided to do this, to uncover this story of the organization, this current lived operational reality within our organization, is we came up with this really big, complex, complicated approach where we just went out and asked people, hey, how are things going? Yeah, what we were doing, what I invented in those moments, I think, and I can't say invented, there were no new ideas, but what we came up with is what we call a learning exploration. Yeah, I don't know what exactly it is that I need to learn more about, but I know that there's more to learn here. I've got a bit of a broad understanding of that. I need to learn how this whole hop thing is going for the folks that are actually closer to the sharp end of the organization, but I'm not really for sure about the specific area that I need to go learn more about. I'm not sure about the specific process that I need to go learn more about. I don't know. And instead of letting I don't know stop us dead in our tracks, like we tend to do with pre-event operational learning, because if I don't know exactly where to go learn, I don't have a defined, clear problem statement, then there must not be anything to learn here, right? And no, we didn't let that stop us. We went out and we had these one session, cast a wide net learning exploration sessions where we would bring in about 5 or 7 folks, usually from mixed departments, or sometimes go shop to shop. Everything here has got a big ish. Yeah, 5 or 7 ish after it. Maybe combine them a little ish. Yeah. And we did multiple of these over the course of multiple days within our organization. And we found tons of areas that we needed to learn more about and improve. Some of those were quick fixes. Some of those were really simple things that we just didn't have line of sight to. Yeah, we went asking the question, hey, how are things going with this hop journey? And some of those conversations would sound like this. Oh, that's great. Like, yeah, comparing to 3 years ago, like, this place is amazing. I couldn't imagine ever working anywhere else after this. Like, you guys take care of me. Things go wrong. You don't beat me with a stick. We learn from it. We improve it. I feel more connected as a team into this organization than I've ever felt in the last 30 years of living in this organization. I don't feel this me versus you thing anymore. I don't feel this me versus the org, or the org versus me, or, you know, if I sneeze wrong, you're going to fire. I don't feel that anymore. I feel like I can actually do my best work here. But I'm having a real hard time getting respirators. Yeah. We've uncovered some of those really quick fix opportunities where it's like, hey, listen, the warehouse, for some reason, they just don't have respirators anymore. And when we have work that requires respirators, we've been driving down to Home Depot to get them. Yeah, well, have you told it? Well, no, we didn't want to, you know. Yeah, we just thought they'd come back eventually, and but, you know, we don't use them all the time, so, you know, I just ran down and got a few. We used them, and then we don't need them for another 8 months. So we trashed those. It's one of those stories. I mean, to give you a little bit of context here, the person that had been ordering respirators for this site, it didn't go through the normal process of, like, set it up in the warehouse, and I set it up with a safety stock. We always have respirators because we didn't use them very much. So every time they needed respirators over the past 20 or 30 years, the person that worked there at the front, they'd say, hey, can you get order some? Yep, got your respirators. They'll be here tomorrow. That person retired, and then it just stopped. Yeah, along with several other, like, consumable items, like things like batteries and different things like that, where it's like, well, what do you do for batteries? Well, I'll just bring some from home. Why the heck? We're a multi-billion-dollar organization. I think we can take care of you here a little bit. That is a perfect example of a quick fix, a quick win. Oh, yeah. Yeah. So coming out of this session, before we even left the session, like, there's a phone call made. Hey, can you set this up in safety stock and set this up? And then, okay, you bring me a list of everything that you're having a hard time getting, and we'll have this resolved before the end of the stinking day. Yeah. And then we would uncover other things, though, that sounded more like this. Hey, you know, yeah, engineering drawings suck. We'll say more. Well, the system that we're using to do engineering drawings, it's clunky. Okay. You'd hear something similar from another work group or another person. Hey, engineering drawings suck. We'll say more. Well, when I go in there to get the engineering drawings out of the system, I can get to them, but half the time there's not an engineering drawing there. Like, it's just a blank PDF. Or I get them and they're like the size of a postage stamp, and when you try to zoom in, it's just all pixelated garbage. Or they're the wrong ones. Or they're not updated. Oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. And then you hear something similar from another work group. Yeah, I can get engineering drawings, but I can't print them. Our printer's been dead for years. We haven't had to get a printer. And so we know at that point, like, we've got struggles with engineering drawings for several different reasons. Guess what that is? Ding, 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 ding. Yep, it's an opportunity to do a more formal learning team, because we've discovered that engineering drawings are a big pain point for our folks. And you know from these worlds that engineering drawings are vital. They are vital to our success. If I don't have it, I'm guessing. If I'm looking at it going, has this been redlined? Has this been updated? I'm guessing. If I'm looking at it going, I can't read this, but I think this is what it leads to a bad day. Talk about error inviting situations, right? Perfect opportunity for a deeper, more formal learning team to come up with more formalized improvement strategies around engineering drawings. The thing like the printer, that's like an easy fix. But if the engineering drawings are wrong or not there or the size of a postage stamp, that's not an easy fix. If the system's clunky and crashes on me and I just can't get into it and I throw my phone, that's not just an easy fix. Learning team, great opportunity. So learning explorations are great for those kind of things, right, where we can find quick wins. We can find opportunities to learn and improve rapidly with those folks nearest to the work. And one session, kind of hit and run thing. And it feeds into that bucket of pre-event opportunities to do more formal learning. Yeah, so there you go. There's some action around do learning teams in a more formal sense and do these kind of learning explorations where you can get started with pre-event operational learning, even if you don't know exactly where it is that you need to start. It will give you some starting points and it'll give you some opportunities for quick wins and it'll give you some opportunity to say, hey, I just don't know how things are going and I want to kind of touch that and feel how things are going. Great opportunity. Other places that I go to, they do these things called like work insight sessions where, again, they're just listening sessions. We'll get together and we'll commandeer that normal dry safety meeting and we'll turn it into anything but a safety meeting. We'll have a work insight session. Teach me about what's going well. What's going well? Teach me about what's not going so well. Yeah, as a group, let's work through this. Another tool that you can use if you don't know already, and you should at this point, is this one. Yeah, starting points operationally curious questions. Are you looking for a handy dandy, easy peasy, lemon squeezy kind of way to get conversations flowing around operational reality within your organization? These conversations around work is done versus work is imagined, pain points, problems, even best practices, the good stuff, the great stuff. Well, Starting Points is exactly what you're looking for. Starting Points, the original operationally curious card deck packed full of a ton of learning-focused, operationally curious icebreaker questions to get those conversations flowing, helping your organization to effectively learn, improve, and innovate. Head over to thehopnerd.com/SP to download our free sample deck, to purchase the original card decks and learning journals, or to inquire about licensing options so that you can customize starting points with your brand, your logo, and your questions for your specific organization's needs. Again, that's thehopnerd.com/SP. Back to the show. If our people are the solution, we're going to go out and actively seek to learn from them, deliberately seek to learn from folks nearest to the work. If we view people as the solution, if we view people as the problem solvers, which leads us to our next actionable takeaway. No matter what tool you're using, no matter what lens you're using to look into pre-event operational learning or post-event operational learning, make sure that you have solution design that is driven by those nearest to that work. Yeah, move beyond like the, hey, give me the information and I'll come up with the answer. The old suggestion box idea where it's like, yeah, tell me what sucks and I'll fix it for you. That never works out well for you. Well, for a couple reasons. Because we're still guessing. We might have more information to make educated guesses at that point. But if you brought me something and said, hey, this is dangerous, back when I was a true and proper safety professional, I would have probably went down the path of going, oh, okay, that's super dangerous. How do we deal with that? With no real sensitivity to how work gets done on a daily basis, even with all of that operational information, it might be better than it would have been before, but I'm still going to go bubble wrap. Bubble wrap's going to do. When we are locking ourselves in a conference room somewhere far, far away, even with a good chunk of operational information about how work actually gets done in real life, it still never ends well. The best improvement strategies, the best corrective actions, the best innovations are rarely, if ever, designed in a conference room somewhere far, far away from work. They're always designed with the folks that have to use them. They're always designed in the trench, in the muck, in the mud, on that piece of equipment, in that confined space, walking on top of that refueling deck, walking out on the catwalk where Bob has to climb up that ladder and do that thing. They're built there. They're built there with the folks that have to use them. So don't, not only should you be learning with the people nearest to the work, but you should be coming up with solutions, improvements, fixes, innovations with those nearest to the work. When you're tackling an operational issue, a process inefficiency, or even if you're responding to an event, you know, think about who has to live with all the doing that we're getting ready to do. Ensure that those folks that have to live with all of that doing have a seat at the table. Yeah, they should be at that table with their sleeves rolled up with us, figuring out what that looks like. Action number three for people are the solution. What now? Reframe your learning reviews in your investigations. When things go wrong, actively apply this idea. Okay? Shift your event learning investigation from who to what. This is such a huge one. That's why I talk about it so much, is because we have such a tendency to move towards who. But if we genuinely believe that people aren't the problem to manage, they are our problem solvers, they are the solution. Yeah, they're that. We can't move towards who, at least not in a negative way. It's really hard to move towards who at that point, because we assume good intent, that people are showing up to do their best work, that people come here and they are the subject matter experts of what it is that they do for a living, and they mostly get it right, and they occasionally get it wrong. And when they occasionally get it wrong, we occasionally get it wrong. It is a we thing. We're bad at that one. When things go well, it's a we effort, right, in our organizations. When things go wrong, it's a you thing. But actually, both of those are we things. It's a we, if you will. Yeah, it's a we. So we need to move towards what can we improve. And we've said this before, and I'll continue to say it again because it's vital. If we move towards who is the problem, who is to blame, who needs fixed, the only real thing that you can do in a tangible physical sense of doing something then is putting your hands around someone's neck. because you're trying to fix people. Are you going to strangle them? Is that the action? Well, just strangle them. Okay. There's not much there. There's not much that you can actually do. It feels like you're doing a lot, but there's not much to do. If we go towards what is the condition, the setting, the context? What is that piece of equipment that sucks? What is that process that always lets me down? What is, I don't have respirators. I can actually do something about that. This should be empowering to us as leaders. Who has taken us down this frustrating path of not having a flipping clue about what we can actually do short of putting our hands around somebody's neck? And that will manifest in our work worlds in a much more polite way of just blame, shame, retrain, fire. And it leaves us just as frustrated because we know, even if it felt good deep down, we know that we're not actually doing anything. What takes us towards things that we can actually do something about? So move towards what? And reframe that who question. Instead of who is to blame, ask who should we be learning from and what should we be improving? You can build this into your processes. You can build this into your pre and post event learning processes. You can take that safety accident investigation something and you can rewrite it right now to include something along these lines. People are the solution. What now? Action number four, actively capture and share adaptive practices. You know, where people are navigating their way through work and figuring it out and creating success, almost always creating success, right? Focus on sharing those adaptive practices. You know, our procedures and our plans, I think anybody that works in our worlds will pretty much tell you that they're needed, they're necessary, and when they are built with the folks that have to use them, they're pretty stinking useful, even to the folks that have to use them, believe that or not. I find that to almost always be the case, but people are constantly making smart adjustments. Of course they are. They're making good adjustments. Instead of ignoring these things and discouraging this noncompliance, deviation, we need to learn from them. We need to learn, especially from the ones that we see those things and we're going, my God, that's great. I would have never thought about that. That is, that's awesome. We need to not only be learning from those, but we need to be talking about those. We need to be sharing those. Create formal and informal channels to actively capture and share these successful adaptations. This means going beyond just checking if the procedure was followed. We're following noncompliance, willful violation. Well, no, that's just work, in case you didn't know. That's just normal work. Think about in your pre-job brief and your post-job brief process. If you don't know, that should be a circle. If you're going out of your way to do pre-job briefs and you've created that process with the folks that are nearest to that process, i.e. the people that actually have to use said process, and you've created something with them that works well for them, yeah, those kind of things. You should also follow that up with, okay, what does this look like? Instead of using this as a checkbox compliance-driven tool, how can we form this into a learning process? This is what we've done in our organizations in the past. Okay, like this thing, checking boxes, you know, saying, hey, we talked about ladder, so now magically I can't get hurt on a ladder because I checked this box. We retooled that. We retooled that. Our folks that had to use it actually retooled it. They rewrote something that was more powerful to them. And guess what? When they did that, they actually stinking used them. Yeah, that's pretty neat. Blue, blue, crazy, right? Yeah. Make something useful and people actually might use it. Yeah, but we followed that up with this idea that this shouldn't just be a pre-work safety conversation. This should be an operational learning tool. And I'm not going to count them. If you share them with me, great. But as a crew, how are you learning? This isn't just this organizational learning something. How are we learning as a crew on a daily basis? Are we capturing that? Are we really building on that so we can be a bit better than we were yesterday just as a crew of folks? So we had this wonky post-work review process, and we gave it to them, and we said, here, fix this. This has been on the books for years, and nobody's ever used it. And they did just that, and it sounds like something we already know, something that is not new at all. It sounds like what went well, what maybe wrong, how can we be better tomorrow? Something as simple as implementing a process like that, again, you have to build it with the folks that have to use it. You can't just go, hey, go start doing this, and I'm going to count them. That doesn't work. But it closed the circle on that pre-job brief, post-job debrief kind of cycle. You know, to give you a really good example of what this looked like for them, they built something on the pre-job brief that sounded like this. what's the crap that can kill us? I said shakrap. I don't know why I held back the profanity on that one. What's the shakrap? What's the shit that will kill us? Yeah, they went down the sticky path. And I think that's where most of us go when we're thinking about the most important things related to the work that we're about to do. I think that's pretty natural. That's what I think of. I don't think of, hey, will I get a boo-boo? I think of, hey, will this kill me? If this can make me die, I want to not die. How can I make sure that I don't die? What does that look like? Is that enough? Yeah, we went down the start when safe kind of route together with folks. That's where they took us. Start when safe. If I can answer all these questions that sound like, what's the shit that will kill me? How do I make sure that I don't die? How do we verify that those things that are going to help me not die are in place and effective? How do I do all that? And then once the job's done, once we come back to the shop for the day for our little huddle before we leave, what went right? What went wrong? How can we make work suck a little bit less tomorrow? How can we be a little bit better tomorrow than we were today? I don't know what you call that, but I call that real deal continuous improvement. Yeah, we get all bent up around this axle of this idea that if learning is not captured and at an organizational level spread across the entire organization, then learning is not even worth doing. No, that's what you want. I want to be on a crew where we're answering those first questions and then we're answering those last questions, and tomorrow's a pretty stinking great day. That's the crew I want to be on. I don't know about you. And I'm the leader. That's the crew that I want working for me, because those folks are a bunch of badasses. Yeah, they're getting better nearly every single stinking day. Like it, love it, yeah. Quick pause. Want to drive meaningful change, improvement, and innovation within your organization? The Hot Nerd LLC can help. Head over to www.thehotnerd.com to book an initial consult, to request a quote, to get in touch, or explore the services that we provide. Services like engaging workshops on human and organizational performance and safety differently, engaging workshops on learning teams, operational learning, curiosity, and improvement. We also offer services such as strategy and planning support and post-event learning reviews, keynotes, public events, and more, all built on real-world experience, in the muck, in the mud, in the trenches kind of experience that we've gained doing this in real life, working internal to organizations, helping companies that we work with answer the question that sounds like, hey, this is great and all, but what now? How does this actually work? Yep, that's what I specialize in. You can learn more at thehotnerd.com or get in touch at thehotnerd@gmail.com. The Hot Nerd LLC can help you actually bring hop to life. Okay, people are the solution. What now? Action number 5. I don't know how we landed on 5 for each of these, but 5 keeps seeming to be the magic number in our world. 5 actions, 5 hot principles, and on. 5 key ideas for learning teams, 5 key ingredients for learning. I don't know, 5 is just, if there is something magic in our conversations, maybe it's the number 5. But implement transparent follow-up on frontline input. Make sure that the ideas that people give you shine through in the end product. Don't just go out and learn from folks. Learn with folks is the best way I've come up with saying that. Learn with folks and come up with improvement strategies with folks, and then just chuck it in a bucket and say, nah, like, really. I talk about this with organizations that are starting on their hop journey. I think it's a question that you got to answer early on in like your pre-planning phase of human and organization performance. One of several questions I think you should answer. But it's this: how do we make sure that our employees' feedback, that their voice shines through in the end product of what we're doing here? How do we make sure that they not only have a seat at the table, that we're not only learning with them, but that their ideas are going out into this world to be micro-experimented on, to be tweaked, to be tuned, to be adjusted, so that we create something maybe a bit cool, a bit useful together? How do we make sure that that shines through? And when we discover that maybe those ideas won't work for our organization for maybe really, really, really good reasons, because we've said this before, operational learning is not the goose that lays golden eggs. You will uncover some ideas that will not work. That's just part of the process. We will come up with some ideas where they're just not great. Yeah, your frontline workers will come up with those not great ideas, just like you have come up with a lot of those not great ideas. You know what this is called, right? That's just called being people. Good intended, not great ideas. Of course we will. And when we decide that those things aren't going to work well for our organization, or we have good reasons to not pursue those or not pursue those right now, make sure that you talk about that openly and transparently. You know, some of the basics really apply here. You know, this kind of transparent tracking of these things, making sure that they're not getting lost in the shuffle. I'm the last person that's going to advocate for like more paperwork because I think our world has plenty of it. But, you know, I was working with an organization I continue to work with that they built like a learning team room. And they gave their folks that facilitate learning teams an active space that was open to pretty much everyone at their location, where you could walk in it at any time. And it was old school. It was one of those whiteboard rooms where you could walk in. Anybody could walk in and say, oh, there's a learning team going on that. This is where we're currently at. Oh, it's been completed. These are the proposed actions. Yeah, okay, that's cool. Oh, and if you see anything here that you'd like to add to, text this number. Call this person. Cool. I can see the status. I have an opportunity to provide input. It's all highly visible. It's out in the open. There's no secret squirrel stuff going on. And even if there's not any secret squirrel stuff going on, if it's not out there in the open where I can see it and I can interact with it and I can absorb it and I can think about it, I know what's happening, then I'm going to assume that there's some secret squirrel stuff going on. Of course I am. So just make it transparent. You can use some of these other methods, right? They had a whiteboard room. It can be a form. Yeah. It can be a call. It can be, hey, we're going to provide video updates on this. Whatever that looks like, do that. And make sure that you build that feedback loop into it. As I kind of described to you there, they have this room and you walk into it and you can see learning teams in progress. I mean, they had whiteboards on pretty much everything except the floor. I think there were some on the ceiling. Yeah. This was operational learning heaven. Yeah. And it allowed for a couple other things to work out really well here that I don't want to go on a side tangent about, but they'd easily see, like, because it's all up on the walls. You can see things that are connected that maybe we wouldn't have seen as connected in the past if we were just doing this on some paper and sharing this, you know, through email. You could just kind of like easily like draw lines between stuff and go, ooh, I can see how this impacts that and that impact. It was pretty neat. Not to get too deep into a side tangent on that or just tell you to go build a learning teams room. I just think, or an operational learning room. But I think it was a really, really cool idea. And talk about showing value in pre-event, because 90% of what was on these walls were pre-event operational learning. Freaking amazing, right? Like it. Love it. Gotta have more of it. Yeah, Cold Stone. Gotta have the Cold Stone in there. Sorry. But they had that feedback loop built in there as well. Yeah, you would see it. If I remember correctly, there was a sign on the door that's like, hey, if you see anything in here that you'd like to add to or have information about, or if you want to give suggestions for more pre-event operational learning, there was like a number. There was a way you could do that. And someone actually answered that number and someone would actually involve you in that. How stinking cool is that? So there you go. There's some five pretty stinking cool actions around this idea of people aren't the problem to control. People are the solution. People are our problem solvers. Let's do a quick recap. People are the solution. What? No. Actionable takeaway. Number one, mine for success. Dig for success. Look for success in normal, everyday, usually successful work. You can do that with learning teams. You can do that with learning explorations. You can do that with all kinds of tools, even a handy dandy card deck full of operationally curious questions. You can do that in all kinds of different ways, but you need to be doing it. Yeah, you need to set up that process with as much time, resources, people as you do anything else in your business that you value, anything else that you would call mission critical. Get to work. Yeah, go have at it. The next one is make sure that you are designing solutions with the folks that have to use them. Build this into your processes. It's already naturally built in to learning teams. But learning teams aren't the only tool that you're using in your organization to operationally learn. Probably not, right? Whether you're using root cause analysis, whether you're using post-accident investigation, learning reviews, this, that, or the other, make sure that you're not just gathering information and you're running away to a conference room somewhere far, far away and making best guesses about what will work best for other people. If you want to know what will work best for people, you have to do that stuff with people. Which leads us to our actionable takeaway number 3. Retool your investigation processes. Reframe those things. We describe that a lot around these here parts as moving from who to what. Because who takes you towards strangling people, what takes you towards things you can actually put your hands on and fix in a positive way. Yeah, towards like actual physical things that you can make better. And reframe that who question outright. Instead of asking who was to blame, who needs punished, who failed, ask who do we need to learn from? Who is the has the most operational information about this something that has gone wrong? And I'll give you a pro tip here. It's usually the people that experience the event. You should be investigating them. You should be involving them. Who do we need to learn from? Yeah. And what do we need to improve? Bake that in. Rewrite that process. Build that in to that process. If you don't know, that's something you can actually do. Open up the Word doc right now. You can get to work. Yeah, you can do that right now. The next one that we shared, actionable takeaway number 4. Focus on capturing and sharing adaptive processes. Stop demonizing adaptation. Yeah, tell the story of successful adaptation. Tell the story of where people are navigating this gnarly, complex and often complicated work world and how they're mostly getting it right. And especially in those areas where we're creating interesting successes, again, we shouldn't just be learning from those things. We should be acknowledging that our people are figuring things out almost always successfully. Tell that story. Tell that story well. Now, another piece that we shared here was close the loop on other things. Yeah, I gave you the example of our our shitty pre-job brief process that nobody used and how we decided that, we should maybe stop doing that to people and we should go do that with people. Let's go figure out what works best for them, i.e. let's let them create it. It's theirs anyways. Yeah, and they came up with something cool. Now, we went a little bit farther with that and because we had this shitty, that's the most professional way to put it, shitty post-work review something, a post-job brief, I think is what we called it. That sucked. It was terrible. Nobody used it. It just sat on the shelf. We had it, and we could say we had it, but nobody used it. And we went back to the folks that used it or didn't use it and said, hey, is there any value in this thing? Take a look at it. Work on it. Whatever you want to do with it. Figure something out. And what that full circular process then looked like was start when safe on the pre-work side. I watch the shit that will kill me. I really don't want to die, so how do we make sure that I don't die? And on those basic questions that we tend to naturally want to ask around our work. And then on the post-work side of that, the post-job review process sounded like something that we all know that's been around for hundreds of years. What went right? What went wrong? How can we improve? How can tomorrow be a little bit better than what it was today? And it worked extremely well for those folks. The next one that we shared, our last one, actionable takeaway number 5. Transparent follow-up. Yeah, just transparency overall on this process. I gave you the example of the learning team room and the idea of showing this stuff, making it highly visible in the organization, but not only showing it to people and saying, hey, look, here's what we're doing. Here's what your peers are working on. But giving folks an opportunity to provide input, even if they're not a part of that particular learning team. They might say, hey, I'll work on that thing. I've got something I want to share. Oh, there's a number right here I can call. Oh, hey, that corrective action up there, that's not going to work. And here's why. There's actually somebody. There's a person. Can you believe it? A person? My God. Yeah. You mean it's not like calling a call center where you talk to a robot for 47 minutes before? No, you can text that number. How stinking cool is that? So transparency and that feedback loop, the follow-up and the feedback loop built in to what that looks like. There you go. We talked 5 actionable items, ideas for you to think on, chew on, ponder on, maybe try, figure out, experiment. I don't know. Take some of it, leave some of it, take none of it. Just some actionable ideas, things I have seen, been a part of, working internal to organizations or now as a consultant over the past long while. It's growing every single day. Things I've seen work well for people. They might not work well for you, but they've worked well for others. And that's what we're all about here. Down in the trenches, down in the muck, down in the mud, answering the, hey, those ideas are great and all. I love these, but what now? There we go. We answered a little bit of it today. If you need a hand on your human and organizational performance journey, get in touch, thehopnerd@gmail.com. I can't tell you enough about it because everybody tells me that I don't talk about it enough. Starting points, operationally curious questions. Wait a second. Ooh, yeah, they're this sweet. These things are awesome, and they are working well for so many organizations all around the globe. We've got them in multiple languages, ready to go, the original card decks. We have the learning journals there as well, and we've talked about it. More and more organizations are moving towards licensing these things because they like the questions, they love the questions, they got to have more of the questions. They want to customize these things. Even if they don't want to change up the questions, they want to put them in their organization's color palette. They want them to scream, hey, these are ours. And you can do that. You can do that with licensing. Again, you can find more information about that over at thehopnerd.com/SP, as in starting points /SP, or just send me an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com, or click that book an initial consult thing over on the website and say, hey, in that little form, I want to talk about licensing the cards. It's super easy. You can join that ever-growing list of folks that are making pre-event operational learning just a part of their day-to-day, just a normal, and dare I even say, fun, fun thing, without any forms, without any wacky tracking sheets, without any stupid things you got to hang around your neck or Scantron sheets to fill out. Yeah. There you go. Another one in the books. We're going to continue on down this path of these key ideas that we put under the umbrella of human and organizational performance. There's 47 different names for that. Let's just say of humanizing our approaches. We're going to keep going until we feel like not going anymore, leaving you with tons of actionable insights into how to get started, or maybe even just go farther. Maybe you've been doing this for a minute. You're just looking for that next something that you want to work on, or that next idea for innovation within your organization. Yep. I bet you've already found some of it here, and we'll continue to do it until we just don't do it anymore. Yeah. Hope to see you soon. Until next time, it is Sam Goodman, the Hop Nerd, signing off. Love you. Mean it. Oh, do me a favor. Check on the people you love and care about as well. Speaking of loving you, meaning it. Yeah, check on those folks. Give them a call today. Yeah, if you get a second, if you just get a minute. Somebody that's been on your mind, or maybe you go, oh my gosh, I haven't talked to you. Pick up that phone. Yeah, you'll be thankful that you did. Love you. Mean it. Bye, everybody. Bye. Thanks for listening, everybody. We greatly appreciate all of your support of the Hop Nerd Podcast and the Hop Nerd LLC. If you need a little bit of help of bringing human and organizational performance to life, if you would like to take your efforts around learning and improving to the next level, yep, I can help with that. Head over to www.thehopnerd.com or send me an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com. Until next time, bye, everybody. Bye. Are you looking for a handy-dandy, easy-peasy, lemon-squeezy kind of way to get conversations flowing around operational reality within your organization? These conversations around work is done versus work is imagined, pain points, problems, even best practices, the good stuff, the great stuff. Well, Starting Points is exactly what you're looking for. Starting Points, the original operationally curious card deck, packed full of a ton of learning-focused, operationally curious icebreaker questions to get those conversations flowing, helping your organization to effectively learn, improve, and innovate. Head over to thehopnerd.com/SP to download our free sample deck, to purchase the original card decks and learning journals, or to inquire about licensing options so that you can customize Starting Points with your brand, your logo, and your questions for your specific organization's needs. Again, that's thehopnerd.com/SP. Back to the show.